So today we have Jonathan Trask. You've heard us talk about him for the last couple months. I and the elders have interacted with Jonathan a lot, and we believe that God has brought him to our church to meet a need. We have a need. We've got lots of kids. We've got lots of teenagers, but we really have no one focused really on them. So Jonathan kind of specializes in family ministry. He has worked at Alpine Camp, and then he graduated up to Thousand Pines Camp. Then he graduated to a big church, a big Calvary Chapel down in Huntington Beach. And he's got years and years of experience working with kids and teens, exactly what we want. We want to enhance children's ministry, family ministry. And so we believe that God has brought Jonathan to our church for that reason. So I asked him if he would come. I knew I'd be coming back from vacation today, and I knew that I would probably still be on vacation mode when I got back. And so rather than prepare a message, I asked him if he would come and share his testimony and get the chance to know him. And then instead of praise and prayer, we'll open it up to questions. Maybe you have a clarification on something that Jonathan said. He's willing to just kind of interact with you as a group. And we'll open up for any other praises and prayers and close. So that's what's going to happen next. So Jonathan, come on up here. God bless you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Who was here last time when I got to come up and chat? And it was kind of fun visiting. Cat's kind of out of the bag, I guess, at that time, or now. Knowing that, I've been in conversations with Mike and the elders of your church to talk about the needs of the church, the passion that Mike has for ministry, and to explore possibilities to see really if Twin Peaks Community Church would be a good fit for me and my family, and if the giftings that, you know, God has gifted our family with would be useful here. And through much prayer and consideration, we have decided to accept a position to come alongside. So thank you. Full well knowing, being in ministry for a number of years, pastoral positions or titles can go to some guys' heads after a while. The way that I really look at all pastoral positions, it's just a position of responsibility within a family. So taking on that responsibility and fully accepting the responsibility of exactly what Mike said, which was to help to bring a better framework and a grounding to children all the way up through youth ministry. And the good news is, we'll talk about this in a second, that just happens to be the thing that I have been dead set focused on for the last 5 years. God's really, I think, been preparing my heart for this. And when I think about that, I think about family, I think about community, and I think about a family-oriented church. And that means every age group, everybody from infant. If you're nine months to 90 years old, we're all a family together under who Christ is, under God the Father. And knowing that we submit to him, we submit to his word, and together as a family, as we walk in this earth, we're just here to be a community and shine his light. Amen? All right. Well, I know when somebody enters your family, and this church without a doubt has had, as we have watched from the outside and we see the husbands and the wives interact together, we've met the youth over the last month or so. We've been traveling up on Thursdays to just get to know them, which I'll tell you what, one of the first things I saw, the first Thursday I came up to visit the youth, and this was something that was actually pretty astonishing to me, and I think it speaks highly of who your senior pastor is. There was a room of about 15 or 16 kids or so, and Mike, traditionally, you don't have the senior pastor in the room with the youth. Mike was in the room with the youth, and I just noticed that there was this respect and honor for Mike. And I would tell you that is something special. That is something different, having worked with youth for a while, that typically senior pastors aren't normally in the same space with the youth. And when they are, there is obviously some level of respect, but it not from like what I saw. What I saw is I sense that there was a deep family connection to Mike. And so to me, I feel like, wow, those are some big shoes to kind of follow behind in helping with the kids through the youth. And I think that it's going to be really special together. So I brought with me a video, because I know when somebody shares their testimony, sometimes it can take hours, can take a long time. So being in camp ministry and doing ministry for a while, about 8 years ago, I decided to say, you know, I'm sharing my testimony so often, I'm going to break it down into a really quick video, because there's a lot of details in my testimony that I can go into personally. But if I start talking, I may not be able to stop talking as I get into detail. So I got 7 minutes. You guys, can you do 7 minutes? Okay. I got 7 minutes of a little video of my testimony, and I'm gonna call it my testimony part one, and I'll explain that once it's over. So if you'll pay attention up here, and I think we're gonna get it going. So that's it.
This is a 7-minute narrative of my life, the different things that I went through, struggles, and everything by that Lord and for that day. So it started in 1986 when I was born. I lived with my dad and my mom. I had two brothers and I had two sisters, leaving me the youngest of all the five siblings. Everything wasn't so smooth. By the time I was 3 years old, my mom and dad decided to fight, and I was splitting up and getting a divorce. All five of the siblings, my two brothers, two sisters, and myself, ended up going to live with my mom. But it wasn't a peaceful process. There was a lot of fighting that took place. After a few years of court battles, going back and forth, the court had granted custody to my dad. And that's when I found out that actually my two oldest siblings were only half siblings that my mom had brought into a relationship with my dad. They ended up leaving on their own. We went with our dad and left my mom kind of out there by herself. So ages 7 to 12, we're filled with a lot of battles, court battles still, where both parents were fighting back and forth, pulling between all the siblings. And it caused me to grow up really fast. It was filled with all kinds of drama. But because of all of that fighting, by the time I was 13, there was division amongst my whole family. My brother and dad on one side, and then my mom and my sister on the other. And I felt like I was left in the center, juggling between the two, trying to figure out what to do, really. So when I turned 15, a few things happened. My dad found a new wife who had three of her own boys and one little girl. And then at the same time, my brother had decided to go off and join the military. He had turned 18, 19 years old and wanted to get out on his own away from everything else. So he joined the military, went off to serve the country, and now leaving me with my dad. By that time, I had just kind of started being with my dad and stopped the business. And I was also during that time trying to figure out a lot of the chaos that surrounded my life, kind of asking a lot of those questions. Why are adults so crazy? I also forgot to mention that a couple years before this, I found out that I had two born-lost sisters that were from my mom as well. She had years before all of us. I didn't know that until I was 13. But it was crazy, and it left me in a state where I felt like I was going crazy. I felt like I had this large burden, this weight that was on my shoulders, that was just filled with worry, filled with pain, filled with chaos, and I just didn't know what to do. Well, I started to seek out people outside my family for help, and I came across a good group of friends who invited me to go to church. And I had gone to church, but I hadn't ever really made my own or taken it really that seriously. So I started going to church. They invited me to go to summer camp high in the mountains of Northern California, where I had a wonderful time. It was an incredible time at camp. I started really dedicating my life to the Lord at the end of those pews up at the chapel. At that time, I started to read my Bible more. I went back and started to attend youth group, church more, and started to really preach the message of the gospel constantly. It felt like that big weight that was on my shoulders that left me with so much burden had really been taken off, and I realized I don't need to look at other people. What I need to look at is really the Lord. So ages 16 to 18 were really good for me. But I would say that those 2 years were the somewhat normal years of my upbringing with my new family. I had a good time. It was normal, kind of. But by the time I was 18, things were still going good. I had graduated high school, went to Bible college, took an internship at a church, but a big storm was going to approach me in my life. It was probably one of the biggest things that I dealt with to that point, and that was a death in my family. It was pretty significant as well. A lot of my family members had gone off and were doing their own thing. So the Lord took the last person that was there that was really stable in my life, and that was my dad. Remember that night? It was Tuesday night. It was raining. And the only thing I could think of was how I wanted to just get warm, and I just wanted to listen to a popular pastor that I knew that just spoke the name of Jesus. Because that's just what I needed to hear, was the name of Jesus. So during that time of my life, I was looking around, and a lot of people that surrounded me kind of went off to do their own things, including the new family that my dad had. I felt very alone. But luckily, those friends that had invited me to church and brought me to camp were there to really help hold me up. And I ended up standing really enough in the love of Jesus during that time. It was still a time that was really painful. It was filled with anguish and a lot of hurt. But knowing that I had the Lord, He really protected me from a lot of that and just kept asking me to put my eyes on Him. A few years later, I came across a beautiful woman. We fell in love with, we started dating. She loved the Lord, went to the same college that I did. And her family still loved each other and were an awesome example of God with you. So I did the smart thing and I put a ring on her finger and decided to marry her, and it was one of the greatest decisions I could have ever made. We decided to move to the mountains, and that's where we found that we were pregnant, and so at that time, as opposed to pursuing ministry, that kind of took a back seat, and I decided to drop her firefighter. So I became a firefighter, worked in training with the academies, learned how to put out house fires and help people on medical calls, but to be honest, ministry was still in the back. I remember being at work one day and just praying to the Lord again, saying, God, I really want to be involved in ministry. And I just had to ask that question. There are people who never see her. Well, ironically, that's when we brought along an opportunity to be a firefighter here at a camp. And that is what I do now. Now, luckily, the firefighting thing didn't go to waste. I started running chaplain calls at a local church. And because of what I do now, that pastor that I talked about, I listened to on the radio, I actually got to meet. So now, it's me and my wife and our little girl. We've got a baby boy on the way, and I am just dedicated to making sure that I raise my family. One thing that I would say...
Yeah, so that's pretty good. We can stop the video there. Awesome. So I'll continue on the story, because that was about 8 years ago. So summation of, I would say, my testimony, first part of my testimony. And I brought up my wife, Sarah, right over here. Probably one of the most amazing... parts, not going to do that, my testimony. We as a family have made it a commitment just through experiences and upbringings that we are dedicated to raising our kids in the way of the Lord. As you can see, my background, my heart for family ministry comes from how the Lord really used the church, the local church, and the local church is kind of bring a community around us. And so we're really passionate about that. We're really passionate about raising our kids right. But we're also really passionate about the understanding, you know, that not all families are perfect, is that we have broken families too. There's healthy families that have kind of that, you know, that we'd say the the perfect way that we'd all want it to be. And then we have families that, you know, God has redeemed, and those that are in the process of being redeemed. And we feel like it's the role of those that are healthy families to come alongside those that are in that process too, as we journey together. So that's the first part of my testimony, and I'll call it the first part because I did that about 8 years ago. And we all know that, you know, we are saved when we confess our sins and we ask for forgiveness from the Lord. We're saved in that moment. There's an understanding that we now have, but we are also continually being saved, or we are being sanctified, that we are being drawn closer to the person of Christ and being made more into the image of who Christ is. Well, I feel like up to that point, if you were to ask me about my testimony 8 years ago, I would have said, yep, I found Jesus. All is good. Everything is fine now. We're doing great. We're following the Lord. But there were things that happened after that that actually gave me an even deeper understanding and helped me grow in a deeper knowledge of the Lord. And along that way, I brought some pictures to show you guys just of past experience. Let's see if I can get the first picture going here. I don't know if this is going to work. Is this going to work? Nope. What's that? There we go. Okay. We'll just cook through it that way. You're looking at a picture of me and my wife, our time at Alpine Camp and Conference Center, which is right down the road. And I brought up this picture just to say, man, I absolutely love my wife. I adore who she is. She is my biggest strength, my backbone, and the backbone of our family. And this picture, I think, represents it. Even that was us probably, what, 22, 23, something like that? Probably like 12 years ago, 24, something like that, 12, 13 years ago. Probably about a year or two into marriage, and we started our marriage really like just diving fully into ministry. And if you've ever been a part of camp ministry, it is a taxing and an exhausting ministry. There's lots of hours that are put in, but we do it all for just sharing, you know, sharing the gospel and being there for kids, being there for youth. And so I love a picture because it's like there's this old broken wall, this old little broken bench that we're on with a Bible right next to us, and we're just there for each other, you know. So let's go to the next picture, show off a couple more things at camp, our time at camp. Camp gave us a heart for children, the excitement of being with children, helping develop Alpine's little camp program, their Indian Village program that ran for, I believe, about 55 years or so. I was charged when I got in there with the responsibility of overseeing it. And as I entered into Alpine, the kids program was, it was kind of like a traditional kids program where there was people dressing up as Power Rangers and cereal boxes and doing kids things, right? But my mind thinks a little bit differently than that. And so I helped them rethink their kids program. And what we did is that we found an Indian tribe in North Dakota that was actually a Christian-based Indian tribe. And because they had a camp called Indian Village, or they changed it to Makawala Village, we adopted the colors and the purpose and the meaning of that tribe. And we kind of took the essence of what the camp originally was intended to be, and we introduced the gospel in a very colorful and more, I would say, authentic type way. So that was our time at Alpine. We did that with the kids program. We go to the next picture. Me and my daughter in this picture, we also ran the junior high and the high school programs. So my daughter, she grew up with me doing camp programming, all the long hours being out there on the field with us, being in the chapel. She was always right next to us. She's always been my little buddy that has been there. So love the picture. Been doing ministry a while with her. You can go to the next picture we have. Again, supporting youth. Being there around campfires, having long conversations, talking about life, talking about the hard challenges of life, kind of helping them unpack realities of why is life so difficult and where can I find hope. Go ahead and do the next one here. And of course, having a lot of fun. At Alpine, we did things like a 10,000 water balloon fight. So you can't do youth ministry unless you have a lot of fun with the youth. So we got all the staff together and we tried to break the Guinness World Record with water balloon fights. And so we would do these fun things to just kind of bring the youth in. And then we would share the gospel with them, the truth of who Jesus is. All right, and then the next picture. Yeah, just some more fun things at camp, and we'll go to the next one too. All right. After my time at Alpine, I then joined Thousand Pines, and I was at Thousand Pines for about 3 years, and came alongside and supported the staff in the development of also their camp programs and their kids programs in their junior high and their high school programs. But after about 3 years of being there, me and my wife had been doing a lot of talking and just saying, you know, we've been doing this camp ministry thing for about 10 years, and it's a lot that goes into camp ministry, and we were doing some praying as to what does the Lord really have for our life. And as we were doing that praying and just thinking, Lord, what do you have for our life? There was a phone call that came along, and it was from a friend that was down at a church in Huntington Beach, and the church is Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. And we weren't sure if we really wanted to step into the church. I stepped in as the children's ministry director. It was a role that I thought, yes, I can come alongside and I can support this church. I'm not sure if I want to just be, which I kind of laugh at my own thinking now, just be a children's ministry director. But we decided to say, you know what, Lord, we're going to go on an adventure. We're going to jump and we're going to head down there. So I was met with, I don't know how many square feet it was, but they said, okay, here's about a third of this Burlington warehouse coat factory. It's yours. Do whatever you want to do with it. I got 10 years of camp experience, and I was like, okay. So, Lord, we did a lot of praying. So we entered in, and what we did, as you can see there, is we kind of helped transform their children's ministry and said, well, you know what? We know camp, so let's just bring camp down here to the church. So we brought nature down there and made it look nice and sunset pictures and kind of developed a whole thing for the kids down there, and we've been doing that. We did that for a number of years. And sometimes, you know, like I mentioned before, when you live in environments that are kind of void of rocks and stones and trees, and you're going outside and you're seeing light posts and skyscrapers and concrete, you could easily go 6 months not stepping foot on anything that is a God-created, you know, element. You're stepping on everything that's just man-made, and your focus, it just becomes so narrow. Even the stars at night, you can't really see that many because there's so much light pollution. Well, we lived in that reality, or we have been living in that reality for about 4 years. And really, our children's ministry space has kind of been the space where our family has kind of found a little bit of, I would say, sanctuary. We turned our children's space into a sanctuary for our kids and worked on really helping the kids develop kind of a not so exciting and vibrant and just go, go, go energetic type children's ministry, but one that's a little bit more focused on proper doctrine, reflection, music, pause, color, all kinds of things that kids are into, and making sure that they really understood the big biblical narrative, the real full story of redemption in Scripture. So that's a picture from that season there. So I think that's the last one that I have, and I'll leave that one up there because I want to get to this point before we maybe ask some questions. I said the first part of my testimony was the video that we watched. The second part is this. God brought us down there for more than the church. You know, the first 2 years was really fun when we were really busy and we were doing things for kids. But then as we started to do things for kids, and then my son started to be 6, 7 years old, and as you could see from the video, in my mind I thought, you know what? I found Jesus. I'm all good now. He's healed me. I'm moving on. I have a wife. I have a life, and I have 2 kids. It's all good. It's all water under the bridge, right? Forgiveness. But he has a way of doing things, bringing you to places that expose and open up areas or things that you have not dealt with rightly or completely yet. The things within your past, the things that still cause you hurt or still cause you pain, and he has a way of bringing that out. I believe that God brought us down there, not just for the church down there, but really for me and for our family. As we were there, about I think it was in 2019, I went through one of the most difficult seasons of ministry in my life that was, say, triggered by a few things that happened within my family. And during that time, I had gone through probably a very, I would say, pretty significant bout of depression. So much so that I reached out, because I'm a man in ministry. I know Jesus. I've talked with counselors. I've talked with pastors. I know when you have to go talk with somebody. So does my wife. And my beautiful wife, who's absolutely wonderful, I kind of had a moment, and she told me, she's like, you need to go talk with somebody. So there were some really good godly men down at the church, some good godly pastors that I got to come alongside, or that came alongside me, and I got to get into a time of counseling, of really good in-depth counseling, of really pulling things out and really discovering why children's ministry? Why would I choose to do such a thing? Why would there be some type of internal, you know, understanding of where kids are at in hurt and pain and trauma? And that's because of my past, because of what I experienced. I had never actually really properly, I would say, mourned the loss of my father fully, and or I hadn't really spent time unpacking the things that happened to me as a child and everything that was taking place. Well, 2019 was a year of healing for me. And we went through, it was great, and God restored it, and we came back, and it was just going so good, and we're going 100 miles an hour, and we were for sure going to probably be at that church. We put our house up on the mountain, or we put it on the market, and nobody bought it, and then COVID hit, and everything shut down, and it was a big pause, and that big pause was, okay, what's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen next? So we went through 2020 just like everybody else went through 2020. And at the end of 2020, as we were starting to get ready to come out of this, at Refuge, I had then moved on from being the children's ministry director to being the family ministry director. And I now oversaw everything from infant through young adult ministries. And my focus was developing a family ministry that was built on partnering with parents in the development of Christ-like disciples and helping them grow in spiritual knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and teaching them how that applies to all areas of their life. And that came directly out of what God was doing inside of me and what I wanted for my family. We established values within our church for our family ministries, the values of we stand on the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. We're focused on building relationships. We want to develop Christ-centered character. We want kids in youth ministry, where I was at, to be open, to have open conversations. We want families to have open conversations, moms and dads and kids to come together to share any kind of burden or anxiety that is on their heart, things that they're struggling with, so that when we open up and we expose it and we put it on the table, then we can introduce the light of God to it appropriately. And then the last one we did, just to make sure that we did things right, is stewardship. We wanted to be good stewards of everything that God has given us. So God had taken me through this season, and we were coming out of COVID. We were ready to go. We had developed all of this, and as that was happening, I got another phone call. And at first, I was like, no, because it was from our friends, John and Sarah Johnson here. I was like, no, John. Like, we had kind of crossed paths in the past. I was like, no, John, you don't really need us here. It's not really where I'm at. Where I'm at is here. We just developed this entire family ministry team. And so we said, no, but tell you what, I'll always take a conversation. Because you're my friend, I'll take a conversation. So I met with Mike and I met with John. And when I met with Mike, I met a man that had a deep heart for family ministry as well. And I think God started to work on some things a little bit. We had a few follow-up conversations, and I remember having a conversation with Mike on the phone and talking with him and say, Mike, I will give you everything I know. I will give you our curriculum. I'll give you everything that we're developing. I will help you frame it out. I will help you frame up ministry teams. I'll do all of that, but I don't know if you want me. But he said, no, I think we want you. And so I said, okay, I'll agree to meet your elders, right? And God brings us along and their wife. So we had a wonderful afternoon and a wonderful lunch where I think God spoke to the heart of my wife and myself. and just really met a godly group of people that really wanted a strong family ministry in their church. And so we did some praying, and I did some reflecting. And I hadn't shared this with everybody yet, but one of the most traumatic recall memories from when I was a kid came back into my mind and was one of those things that I think God used as a stamp. And it was when I was being pulled out of a vehicle, my mom's vehicle, and being placed in my father's vehicle by a sheriff's officer. And it was heart-wrenching. It was really hard. God brought that memory back. That memory was at Twin Peaks Sheriff Station right next door. And I think we took that as a sign of, I think God's bringing things a little bit full circle. And he's allowing us to really dive into saying, like, yeah, I think I have you on a mission to build family ministries, to be there for families. You have the knowledge, you have the experience. We want you to be here for families. And so that's what we're committed to do, to be here a part of your church, to laugh with you, to cry with you. By the way, you may have noticed I'm a little soft at heart right now. I'd say this, when I was in the fire department, I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. And after children's ministry, I named my dog Marshmallow now. So, like, I've come a little bit. So I'm a little softer, but, kids ministry will do that to you after a period of time. So we're here for you guys. We're excited to see what the Lord does. So that's us. Anything you want to know about us, like I said, we are an open book. We talk about openness, and we're all about Jesus. So, cool. Good. Mike?
Stay in this area so that the screen can see you. Okay. And if you have a question or a comment, this would be the time to use a microphone so that those at home can hear. While you're thinking of your questions, let me assure you that we're going to end at noon. So if you end up with five people sitting with their hands up at noon, that's when we're going to end, all right? So that's about 10 minutes from now. All right? Is this going to be quite an adjustment going from a big, high-powered, going church to be back on the mountain and being kind of slow-paced church?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I think it's just, there's always new things to learn in different ways. You know, it was an adjustment moving down there. I think when we're going to be back in a home community, a community that we know and understand well, so I don't think it will be too big of an adjustment.
All right. So I was the first question. Who's next? Question or comment? Well, right back here, Jackie.
Welcome. And also, can you bring your family up so we can meet them?
Yeah. Want to come on up? My kids are a little shy, and that's okay. I'll bring my wife up. So this is my wife, my wonderful, wonderful wife. Which, by the way, at our wedding, the pastor who married us, because he knew me, he said, he's like, it's going to take a really unique woman to marry Jonathan. It's totally true. So this is my wife.
Should I stay
here?
Someone may have a question for you, so. Yes, in the back. Gary.
So there's a lot of different youth, like youth training, youth mental health, first aid. That's one that I would recall. It's, I would say the biggest issue, because a lot of us like to think about, okay, what one of the biggest issues that youth are dealing with, maybe drug addiction or promiscuity or all of that. Actually, what's going on with youth nowadays, there's a severe depression rate that's happening. Obviously, drug use and all of that is a big thing. You know, here on mountain in different places. But I would say that when it comes to a wholeness of learning about dealing with kids with drug addiction or depression or whatever that is, it starts by first having an open place that they feel safe, that they feel like they can trust people. Like I said, one of our values that we established in our ministry was openness. Kids have to feel the freedom to be able to expose what's going on inside internally, like emotional issue, so that we can tackle that first, and then kind of teach like, okay, so you're dealing with internal problems going on in here through the means of drug addiction or social media stuff or many other things. So if I had to answer that pretty quick, it's all goes deep down into the heart and creating a space first that they feel welcome to kind of share about who they are first. And that's a lot of work to do that. So yeah, that's, yeah.
Anyone else? Okay, up here, Mrs. Leisure.
Good morning. You, in all the areas that I see you working, you pretty much have like a dedicated space for your youth. Here we have a shared room. Have you like thought of ways to kind of make it feel like that they have a space that's their own even though it's not?
Yeah, so like it's yours, but it's not yours. Well, I'm a pretty spatial person. You know, camp ministry is a pretty creative place. You have to kind of, you know, be really quick on your feet in kind of turning anything. I mean, I went down to a warehouse and I built like an outdoor amphitheater. Like, I'm trying to get those kids outside. So we have nature and trees and everything out here too. The dedicated space, like the function, I've thought of different ways as I've looked around the church, you know. But I'm not looking to take over a room and say, let's paint it neon green. And, you know, that's not, that, you know, those questions are later. First is kind of the foundational values and, you know, mission that we're on. And then we'll answer those questions. And we'll probably answer them as together as a community, not just Jonathan Trask. So, yeah.
Who's next?
I got two questions. First for Pastor Mike.
Yes.
Pastor Mike, when are we going to be able to hear Jonathan teach? Because we'd like to hear, I'd like to hear more of his theology, and I'd like to hear his teaching style.
Are you available next Sunday? Soon.
Yeah, soon. I can also tell you there's a whole catalog of teaching, though. If you go to Refuge Calvary Chapel, you go to the website there, you'll have audio message, video recorded message, or you can just type in my name on YouTube, and you'll see, I mean, there's tons of videos. Because I did children's ministry, but I am part of the pastoral staff at our church. So I teach Sunday nights, I've taught Wednesday nights, I've done expository preaching, like in-depth studies of, you know, Old Testament teaching. And you know what helps shed with that? Teaching kids. So, yeah, and any doctrinal questions, because I know that always comes up, I'm more than available to discuss any kind of issue. So,
yeah. The second, Jonathan, is being a teacher in the schools up here for many years. I know that there's a huge vacuum of leadership, of Christian youth ministry that crosses from the church side to the public side. And I tried to do whatever I could to involve the youth pastors on the mountain to come onto the campus. And I know that there's more and more resistance on the public side to having a Christian presence on the campus. I'm just thinking of Gary Palmer back in the day,
yeah. You
know, at the high school, and you were impacted by that. And so do you have a vision for that yet? Do you have any thoughts or ideas?
Well, lots of thoughts. And we can go into one of those topics that may bore some people here, but I'd love to sit down and talk ministry strategy. Is what is our what is the best way that we can reach the youth? And there are effective ways to do it. Just going on campus isn't necessarily reaching youth. It can feel like it is, but you want to make sure that when you go into the space with youth that you actually have their ear. You're actually doing something that really is kind of pulling them in, and you're really making connections. And so I have ideas, but to actually really develop, like, okay, this is what our strategy will be. I do not have that all fleshed out yet, but I do have ideas. So I'm looking forward to working on that more once I get here.
Yes.
I think your life's been a great example that displays a story that I heard And that story is like, your life is similar to one that I've shared. As a Christian firefighter, I know you fought both fires. I think you'll be a wonderful mentor and role model for our children.
Thank you. I would tell you that those that serve in public service or have spent any time in it, there's nothing like entering into the households of people that are really in their most devastated of states, because the first responders, when you go in, you're going into a situation where it is pure chaos. Whatever took place just took place. And it's not just heart attacks. It's pretty grotesque things. And that really does prepare, I think, your mind a little bit for ministry. Just to learn how to work with people in trauma.
One thing that rang a bell with Jonathan, is his philosophy of ministry matches my philosophy of ministry. That's unusual. Usually, pastors don't want kids around. They prefer kids to be off in the nursery, off in children's church, and not integrated in. And my very deliberate thing of doing children's corner every week is to make the kids feel at home here, so they get to be integrated. And so if you look on our website and look at our philosophy of ministry, the church is called the Household of God. Elders are called elders. We're called brothers and sisters. So there's supposed to be a family atmosphere, and I think we are in step with that. So I'm pleased to find someone that thinks like I think as far as children and adults, not to separate out and go age differences, but let's see how we can include them. So I'm sorry, I'm stumbling around here. I'm still in vacation mode, but I'm excited that we found someone that has a heart like Jonathan and Sarah.
Dwight Moody, or D.L. Moody, he said at the end of his life, he said, if I could do it all over again, he would dedicate his entire life to preaching the gospel to kids. And it's the heart for children, but it's also, when you teach the kids, the audience is never ending. It's like it's a new tribe being born every single year. Disney understands that.
Boy, does he ever.
Yeah. $120 billion company has latched on to, when you create a message for kids, guess what? They keep coming. And I think the church needs to be about that too.
And what Jonathan said about preaching, he said what he's learned about preaching is he's been teaching children. So when you teach at the children's level, it's actually you are clearer and simpler when you're teaching to the adults. If you teach at a college level, you're going to be preaching over people's heads. So I appreciate, again, that you have a heart for kids, and I think that'll come through because we're all kids at heart.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's 12.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to do is if you'd like to ask questions one-on-one, I'm going to ask Jonathan and Sarah to stand over this way. I'm going to stay here because the kids are going to want to play with Squeaky. And this will be noisy. That'll be a quiet corner. Those of you who are ready to go out and go get your cookies and all that, you're dismissed. But let's stand together and do a closing song. Thanks. Let's give Jonathan and Sarah a big hand.